Good morning, Life Church. How are y'all doing today? Well, as you can tell, we have a little bit of a format change this morning, going to be a little bit different. We're going to be having some conversation with some amazing people in the house and the ministries that they are doing, because our subject matter this morning is all about why does church matter? Or maybe we could say, does it really matter? Is it still really relevant? Because we live in a culture and we live in a society today that is really doing some things that have perhaps never really been done or morphed in the way that our culture has. We see the influences, we see things happening around the world, right in our own backyard, we see it in our neighborhoods, and we are faced every single day with things that challenge us in our responses and how we're going to live a godly life in the arenas that you and I are called to live in. Some interesting statistics. In 2016, only 23 to 25% of Americans attend church regularly. It's basically like a 1 in 4. But let me define for you regular, because that adds even another angle to this, that regular is now defined as out of 8 Sundays, you attend 3. So think about that. When I grew up, that would say you were an irregular attender. 8 weeks and only 3 there. So the attender, regular attender, looks very different today than even yesterday or days in the past. So when we say that the Church of Jesus Christ is to penetrate the world and is to impact the world, we're dealing with a little bit of a different dynamic today in those who are considered the attenders and the impactors of the world. And so this is why the church is really mattering. We know that Jesus Christ established the church, so the church is not going away. The church just needs to raise its level of impact. And the church is not the walls that surround us in this very moment. The church is each and every one of you who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And it's you and I that impacts the world. We are the body of Christ. We are the living, breathing church of Jesus Christ. And so everywhere we go, we are to bring an impact. But sometimes we need to be reminded as to why the church really does matter. And that comes in hearing testimonies and hearing stories about why the church matters. A few other statistics that is quite interesting is 73% of Americans identify themselves as Christians. If that was truly the case, I think we'd be penetrating our culture in a very more noticeable way. But then, out of that 73% identifying, 31% practice the lifestyle of Christianity. But that confuses me, because I said the first stat I gave you was 23 to 25% go to church regularly. Then how can 31%? Something's wonky going on. And the fact of the matter is, we are not being the Church of Jesus Christ the way that he has intended for you and I to be. And it's just time. And the urgency of the hour and the urgency of the culture is set before us, and it is now. It is now. Lives are lost. Lives are broken. And we rub shoulders with them every single day, from the classroom to the offices, to the bus stations and the airplanes that we travel, to our neighbors, the restaurants, the cleaners, and so on. And we are the church out among the people. We carry the hope, and the church truly does matter. So this morning, we are going to talk to some different leaders. We're going to hear about their ministry, how it is impacting, and how we can become involved should we desire to. So our first guests this morning are going to be Pastor Ashton and Stephanie. So come on and join me. Boing, drop the mic. There we go. So before we hear from Pastor Ashton and Stephanie, let's take a look at this video. So guys, real life youth ministry, why does it matter in our church community?
Yeah, I would say I would give three words for why it's so important. That would be identity, community, and destiny. And with identity, I would say living in the digital age, we're in what I consider to be information overload. That there are just a tremendous amount of information and voices speaking into teenagers of how they're supposed to be, how they're supposed to look, and lots of it's really real unrealistic expectations. And that those are getting placed on students, and things have been, they're told how they're supposed to be. And so teaching them to find an identity that's like deeply rooted in Christ is so important, an identity that's rooted in God's word. And so just resting in that, so that identity, and the second would be community, just allowing them to build a support system of their peers, that they can pray together, they can worship together. I think there's something powerful when students get the opportunity to worship together and to pray for each other. I love the opportunity when our leaders get to pray for each other, but sometimes when a student prays for another student, it's a really powerful thing. And so the development of that community, and then development of destiny, meaning an understanding that we live in a culture, especially for young adults, that is so, can be self-absorbed and so consumed with pursuing, like, what can I have, what can I get right now, to teach them that there are things of eternal value to pursue, and that we get the opportunity to give our life to things of eternal value, making our own impact in with Jesus in our own lives, and then reaching our friends, reaching our school, reaching our community around us. So
I was reading in my devotions not that long ago, and it was about this eternal value and how Christ has said that within the heart of every human being is eternity. There is an eternal component. And so I think what is interesting in our lives as well as adults, no matter where we are, but especially as young people, they are searching for why am I here and what is my purpose? And I think as you're saying that being one of the pillars of youth ministry is so very, very crucial. So what are some of the specific things that you are seeing in youth today that is challenging this entire identity issue that they have?
Yeah, like I said, the digital age so changed things that there's an information overload that they put information out there, then they become the spectacle and almost the critic of everything. And so I say that we live in a Photoshop generation, meaning that every image they've seen has been digitally altered to look perfect, whatever that looks like, perfect hair, perfect skin tone, you know, size, athletic, whatever it looks like. And so there's these unrealistic expectations that they've been put on them, that it's a weight that they're carrying that they're not supposed to carry. So just that, and just a lot of rejection. And this last Wednesday night, I spoke on the topic of rejection, and psychologists say that 1 out of 3 teenagers will deal with serious issues of rejection. So not just a basic rejection, but a serious issue of rejection that they carry with them. And teaching them to let go of those things and not carry those things and find what God says over their lives and putting them in an atmosphere. Like we did last Wednesday night, we had some of our ministry team members there and said, we just want to speak over these students about what God says over them, that they're loved, that they're valued, that they have a purpose. And so placing them in an atmosphere that truth and life could be deeply spoken over them.
So, Stephanie, what are the stories coming out of the Real Life Youth Ministry?
Well, I think 2 stories that really line up with those 3 things that we really like to see in students. One is there was a young lady who was going to Roscoe Middle School, and she was just on her way walking home, and it would have been raining that day. And somebody, you know, stopped her in the parking lot and said, you know, do you want a ride so you don't have to walk in the rain? And gave her a ride, and it invited her and just talked to her and just opened up. And she ended up coming back to church, brought her mom, brought her friend. You know, they gave their lives to the Lord, and they have eternity now. I mean, they have that sense of identity in Christ. They have that hope and that life. And it's something as easy as giving someone a ride in the rain. I mean, sometimes I think we think it's so much or so hard or, oh, I can't do that. It's what Jesus has for us is just a simple yes. I would say simple obedience. On the other side of that, there's eternity for people. And there was another young lady that had been out of the youth group for a while. When she'd come back, she had been in rehab. She had been struggling a lot with rejection, and those things had been manifesting in certain attitudes in her life. And so she had been in rehab. And when she came back, she said, "But I can't be here every week because I have to still go to my accountability classes." And so she started coming, and then all of a sudden she was here every week. And she said, "You will never believe it." She says, "My parents and my counselors said they saw more change in me from coming to youth group than they saw in going to my rehab programs.
That is awesome.
That's wonderful.
That's the impact that we get to make in the lives of people. We get to do that. A ride in the rain and an attendance to Wednesday night youth group that is noticed by parents and counselors who are not Christ followers and said, "There's something there." That's why the church matters. So if individuals want to get involved with youth ministry, how do we get involved?
Yeah, there's definitely information in the Connection Center. You can get there. But I say the easiest way today is stop by the Surf Shack. I mean, why not? You know, we have snacks there. We have information. And so want to just stop by and connect with us today. We'd love that. So if they want to be involved, or if they have a teenager, they want to become familiar with all the student ministries doing, it's the best day to do it, I think. So
cool. And I understand there's ice cream.
There is ice cream. And there's a variety of flavors. We're not just doing vanilla, people. There is options. We love options.
What's the options?
Cookies and cream, mint chocolate chip. That's my favorite.
Where's chocolate?
Chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
And vanilla.
It's there.
Chocolate.
It made it. So, yeah.
All righty. Because I told Pastor Ashton, I'm like, "Well, I don't have teenagers anymore, but I'll sponsor a teenager because I want ice cream." So thank you. Give Pastor Ashton and Stephanie a great big hand. All right, we have Heather and Jeremy with our Kids Life Ministry, but watch the screen first, and then we'll get into some conversation. So my first question out of the gate is, was that you with the piggy nose?
No, that was not me.
That was not you with the piggy nose.
I left my piggy nose at home.
No piggy nose for you. All righty. So Heather, talk to us about why children's ministry is so important.
So children's ministry is super important because we have the opportunity to minister to kids who are from birth all the way on up to fifth grade. And so we really have the opportunity to lay that foundation for them. George Barna, who does research across America and across the world, he has, through his research, he has the statistic that 85% of people will have accepted the Lord or have their foundation laid by the time they were 13 years of age, meaning that if they fall away from God in their teen years or adult life, they have a tendency to come back because of the foundation that was established by the time that they were 13 years old. By the time you're 13, that foundation is laid. And so we have that opportunity to invest in kids and to minister to kids and really help them develop what it means to have that relationship with God. Our core philosophy for ministry is to help kids. Our desire is to see kids grow in their walk with God through genuine worship, teaching them what does it mean to worship? Why do we raise our hands in worship? What does worship really mean? Through relationships, having relationships with each other, but having friendships and building those that will last into their teen years. And then also the ultimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Ownership, owning the spiritual gifts, owning the gifts that God has given you. Owning your walk with God, owning your faith, and then witness. What does it mean to go into the schools? What does it mean to witness to your families? And so we have that opportunity to lay that foundation so that this generation that's coming up, that they don't have to go through everything that generations in the past have gone through. because we have the opportunity to raise them up, to not fix them when they're adults, but really speak into their lives when they're kids, so they own their faith, they own their walk with God, they know who they are in Christ by the time they reach those years, and they get to go further and farther because of what's been established during their birth through fifth grade years. And so that's our heart.
And that's really a sobering kind of statistic when you think about where the foundation of our lives as people occurs, and that's really in our childhood, in those early years. And to understand that the impact that we can make in a little one's life can alter their path the rest of their life. The same way traumatic experiences alter a child's life, having a community of believers around them truly can change a family history line, a family of origin line, where they can have come from a family line that, you know, had hurt and pain and were far from Christ, and shoot a new shoot that puts them in Christ's destiny and Christ's plan. So tell us a little bit about why, Jeremy, you're involved with Kids Life.
Well, once you catch the vision of kids ministry, it's hard not to want to be involved, because so many times we look at kids ministry as they're going to babysit my kids for the hour while I'm in service getting fed, and, you know, that's cool, I'll go pick them up later. But, you know, the kids are not the church of tomorrow. They are truly the church of today, because they have no lesser Holy Spirit than we do. So, you know, once you just catch fire of that, you know, you just start pouring into these kids' lives. You plant seeds that will impact them for the rest of their lives. You know, we get so many of those aha moments during kids' church, where a kid will come up and they'll be like, you know, I remember my Bible verse from last week. And, you know, they get so excited about it. And it's like, you know, you don't realize the impact, you know, they don't realize the impact that has right now. But, you know, when they're older and they get into a situation, and God's going to bring that back to their remembrance, and they're going to be like, yes, I remember that. I know that God's word is true, and I know his promises are true. I remember that from back when I was a kid. That is going to impact their lives for eternity. It truly does.
It really, really does. So what are some of the stories that are coming out of the Real Life Kids ministry?
So one of the things that our kids ministry has done just recently, within the last couple of months, is we had a little girl in our community. She had gotten sick on a Monday. They diagnosed her with strep throat. Throughout the course of a week, they found out she had leukemia, and she ended up passing away on a Sunday. So from Monday to Sunday, this little girl ended up going up to heaven and being with Jesus. But her parents, they do not attend church, but she has come to our Kids Life ministry within the course of the last 2 years about 7 times. The family who has brought them has told us that the dad, while after walking through this, that the dad has come up to him and has said that he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that his little girl is up in heaven because she found Jesus over in our Kids Life service, and she went home and was sharing about that with them. So our kids ministry, what we ended up doing is we ended up ministering to the YMCA and helping them go through that. But then we also ended up posing a slime challenge to our kids and saying, hey, let's raise some money to help bless this family with the medical expenses, with things that they're going through. And so we posed the challenge. I was super excited about the challenge because even though I was one of the 5 that was going to get slimed, I was not the one that got slimed. And so that was like winning. I did not get slimed. And so Mr. Jeremy actually ended up being one of the ones that got slimed twice. And then Mr. Michael Reynolds got slimed all 3 services because he's amazing and our kids love him. And then Miss Tori got slimed the last service. And so I was super excited, though. I was like, yes. But the really cool thing is that our kids, in the matter of 2 weeks, they ended up bringing in $1,600, a little bit over that, to go and bless this family.
That's awesome.
And so, we were able to take and give that to this family for Easter, just as a way to bless them. And the cool part is that even though the parents aren't attending church, the family is bringing the son to church with Awanas and with our Sunday morning services. And so we're still able to pour into the family, and we totally are believing that God will transform this family's life.
That is just so moving and impactful when you hear that, that a seven-year-old little girl, and earlier on Heather had said that little girl came approximately seven times to the ministry. And out of that, this family's being impacted. That's engaging the culture. That's impacting the culture. It seems so small, but it's so impactful. And this is what we get to be a part of every single day. Every single day. So I get so moved by that every time I hear it, because it's so simple. And sometimes we make this thing more difficult than what it really is. It's just showing up, being there, and being present in a family's time of need. And so this family that still has not made the choice to follow Christ has connected the dots that they do know where life is. And I believe that one day that will come full circle and they'll be a part of the body of Christ. How can they not? How can they not? Amen. So if we want to get involved with children's ministry, how do we do it?
Well, it's super easy to get involved in kids ministry. One of the things you can do is come talk to me or come talk to one of our kids team members. And we will initially give you a background check form to fill out. And then once you fill out the background check form, we'll set up either coffee where we can go out and get coffee, or if you want to hang out in the office, and we'll kind of go over everything. And one of the things that we desire as a kids team is not to kind of, sometimes people think when they join the kids team, they're just going to get thrown into a classroom and that's where they're going to be. We really want to find where your sweet spot is in ministry, where you feel most fulfilled in serving our kids. And so we have incredible opportunities for you to get involved in our kids. We have a joke that you don't even have to like kids.
Isn't
to kind
awesome?
Of be on the kids team.
You don't have to
team.
Like them.
And so you don't even have to like kids, but there is a spot for you. We have some incredible opportunities with greeting new families when they come in. We're a church over there, and so you have an incredible opportunities to greet new families when they come in. If you're really good at technology, we have awesome printers that you can help us with. There's building sets. There's decorating the hallway. There's different opportunities where even if you don't want to be in a classroom, you can still be a part of our kids team and make a difference. And we challenge our team that as our kids ministry keeps growing and our kids ministry keeps getting stronger, we truly believe that God will begin to pour more kids into our church and more families, most importantly, into this congregation. And so that's the heart of our kids team. And so we would love to talk to you, love to get you plugged in. And it's an awesome opportunity to reach this generation.
So that's cool. Lots of stuff to do. And even if you don't like kids, and slime and piggy noses are in that whole thing too. All right. Give them a great big thank you. Now, girl, come on. Doesn't Pastor Evelyn bring the bling? Yeah. So before we get into some conversation, take a look at this video. So, Evelyn, talk to us a little bit about why this healing ministry is so needed in the church.
Well, because there's more people sick now than ever before. I mean, James said to the church, is there any sick among you? Today we'd have to say, is there anybody here that isn't sick? You know, because people they're sick. And we have the answer. We are Holy Ghost carriers. We carry the Holy Spirit. And didn't he tell us, these things that I do shall you do, and greater things shall you do because I go to my Father? We're to do greater things, and a lot of people aren't even doing the things he did. So we need to realize who we are. We have the light of God in us. And, I mean, I've seen bones replaced. I've seen hearts replaced. People get new hearts. I've seen people get new kidneys. My daughter-in-law got a kidney put in her by the Lord, not by surgery, but by the Lord. I've seen hip bones replaced. Pastor Bev and I prayed for a lady who had no hip bone, born without a hip socket. And bless God, she got one. And so you have that same power within you. But you say, well, you know, what if it don't happen? What if it does? Glory to God. You need to build that on the inside of you so that you know that you make a difference. Where you go, light goes. Hallelujah. And we make a difference. And we need to begin to do that. Just say to the Lord, I'm here. You set it up. I'll do what you want. And come against that fear. Why should you fear? Because the greater one's on the inside of you. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, the greater one is on the scene. And he's here. I don't have to do the work anyway. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. I don't have to do the work. All I have to do is show up, give him my hands, and he does it. So I think that's wonderful.
So it's really interesting that you make it quite simple. In a simple prayer or a simple request, Lord, you just set it up and I'll show up. Because sometimes we make this more difficult than what it actually is, right? And that really the Lord is just waiting for our participation and our availability to just show up. And the Lord said, let me take care of the rest because I'll just set it up. So, Dustin, how has God been setting things up for you?
Yes, so I have a neat testimony from this last Friday. And just to preface it, this is available to everyone here. It's not just a couple all-stars up front. Everyone can do this any day of the week. So last week, I had my first cavity filled in. I was super disappointed. I never had one before. And went to the dentist on Friday to have that filled in. And three shots of Novocaine in, and they're working on my teeth. And as I'm sitting back there, as they're drilling my teeth, I heard the Lord say, lower back pain. And I know what that means. Somebody around me has lower back pain that we need to deal with. So when I got done, my lips were kind of like this. I still had Novocaine on my lips. And I looked at the dentist, and I said, hey, this is going to sound really weird, but God told me someone has lower back pain here, and I need to pray for it. They kind of looked around. Everyone's like, I don't think so. And then the administrative assistant that was working with him said, I had lower back pain this morning, but my shoulder really hurts. I said, okay, come here. I'm going to pray for you. God's going to heal you. So I walked up to her, put her hands on my shoulder, prayed for her real quick, and immediately I said, check it now, because it should be good. And she moved around. She goes, yeah, that feels better. But it hadn't hit her yet, because as soon as she really thought about it, she goes, wait, it's better, because this has been bugging her for a while. She just began to weep in the dentist's office, and all the other workers saw it. She had to take her glasses off, and she cried. I put my arm around her, and I go, Jesus loves you. He paid for you to be healed. And then I left.
With a little bit of drool, I'm sure.
Yes.
But isn't that awesome that in that moment, when most of us are thinking about the drill coming towards our face and having somebody in my mouth, that in that moment, the Lord nudged you and you showed up, and how it impacted somebody who just had no clue that they were going to encounter a loving God that day. A God who prepared somebody to be there just for them. That's impacting our culture. That's engaging people around us because that's the church out there. I know oftentimes we say outside these walls, but the reality is the church is not the walls at all. The church is flesh and blood, you and I. And we do go out there every day, and we get that type of opportunity. So if individuals want to get involved with the healing ministry, how do they get involved?
They can see me. And I was thinking too, you know, God wants you healed more than you want to be healed.
Right.
Really. And you need to know that. But if you want to get involved, we'll show you how to lay hands on people. And show you what we know, and the Spirit of God will work through us. But you come to me, or you know, call the church. We have a meeting on Tuesday night, and then we have a healing ministry every other Saturday evening at 6:30. So it's the most exciting thing. I mean, more exciting is to see somebody get saved, but oh my goodness, it's exciting to see somebody get healed. See their face when they realize, oh, God just touched me. So you're all welcome.
Awesome.
And you have to be sick to come, okay?
Okay. All righty. Give Pastor Bev and Justin a great big hand. Thank you. So here we have Pastor Bev and Lauren with our Freedom Ministries. So tell us a little bit about why this ministry is really kind of very important in our church life.
Okay, well, I was thinking just the name of it, Freedom, and how when people come, the freedom that they can experience in their lives from like depression, rejection, insecurities, anxieties. You know, God wants us to be free, because if we're not free, we're not able to fulfill our destiny that God has for us. Because people who are intimidated or whatever, they're always afraid of people, or they have the rejection, so they never feel they're good enough. And so just to be able to come and experience the freedom and let people have that, and it's just really exciting. And the other day I shared last night, we had a I've had a couple testimonies, but I had a mom share with me last night after listening to this, and she said when she was going to tell me her little boy the other night, he's 4 years old, and before he goes to bed, he's always been afraid, and so she's been playing him my CDs or the off the internet from the church here. And so he says, Mom, would you put that on your phone of that lady praying? That gives him peace, because we pray and we come against those things, and he wasn't afraid. And then we had a lady here that also, and some of these people are just sitting here right now, that have experienced this ministry, but a woman who dealt with a lot of rejection in her life, and we dealt with the rejection, and she got like a whole lot better. And in that, it started her realizing she could be free of a whole lot of other things. And she had sleep apnea, and she came and we prayed for her, and I think she had to get up or be on the machine, and her like heart would stop or her breathing stopped 400 and some times in the night. And, or I don't know how long it was, hour or whatever, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, in that, she came for prayer, and we prayed and took authority over the sleep apnea, and she was completely healed, and she walked that out for about a year, and all of a sudden, some of the symptoms started coming back, and she got really discouraged, and she came, and we prayed again, and didn't seem to break it all off this time. And so I said to her, well, then you just need to start taking your authority and standing against it. So she began to do that and put into action really the authority that we had taken in the first place. She began to operate it. You know, a part of what we do is also learning experiences so people can learn how to operate and walk in that themselves, you know. And so she began to pray and take authority, and all of a sudden she was able to sleep half the night and then go all the way to the morning. And now she hasn't had to have the machine at all. She's been able to put her machine away. And that's been like months ago. And so God just totally healed her. And then we also have a lady here. And she's sitting here today, too. She came last hour and said, what can I do to get in your class? She was a woman that came to our conference we did out at South Church. And she said to me that day I met her out there, she said, if this ministry wouldn't be here, I'd be dead. And she's been coming, and my team actually has been praying with her. And this woman has been so set free, and it's just like her whole countenance has changed. And seeing things like that are just exciting to see how God is changing and changing lives and setting people free from things that the enemy has dumped on them.
So, Lauren, what are you seeing, and what has drawn you into being a part of this ministry?
Well, you know, the thing is a lot of us think that the Freedom Ministries is more for somebody who's dealing with addictions, with heavy sin, and a lot of us think, well, you know, I go to church, and I read my Bible every day, and I'm doing okay, and I don't think I need that. Do you know what? Jesus didn't die for us to have an okay life. He came and died so that we could have an abundant life, so that we could live a life of victory. And a lot of times, all of us, we have areas of, we have issues. We do. We have issues, and we don't deal with them. And we just think they're a part of who we are and that we're stuck with them. But we don't realize that the enemy uses those issues to hold us back from what God's called us to do, hold us back from having an impact in the kingdom of God and in this world today. And so we don't deal with those things. And so when we go to Freedom Ministries, then the Lord breaks those things off of us, and he exposes those things for what they really are, that they're not issues. They're a lot more than that, and that there's something we can do about them. And as he breaks those things off of us and we begin to walk in freedom, it changes every area of our lives. Because the thing is, we don't realize that those issues, they impact our children. They impact our marriage. They impact our finances, our jobs, and our businesses. But when we deal with those things and we walk in freedom, then we start to experience victory in every other part of our lives, and that impacts our children. It impacts our businesses and our finances, every area of our life. And then, see, what happens then is there's a light, because the light's no longer hidden under something, because it was hidden under all those layers of issues. And when those issues are gone, that light's no longer hidden. And that light, it draws people to us. They can see something in us that they don't see anywhere else. And they're drawn to that. And they want to know, what do you know and what do you have that I don't? And it gives us a chance to really make an impact.
So what I hear you saying is very interesting, with hearing the testimonies from our children and our youth. Because we're in youth, in that youth dynamic, it was, you know, identity and things like that. But in the adult realm, we deal with our own identity issues and carry our own baggages that we begin to wonder, what did God create me for? What did he plan me for? Why am I even on this earth? And is my life worth, you know, living out? Or is this just all life is about? And when we as adults even wrestle, you know, with those types of things, we've got to have a place to go and be able to have a safe place to deal with those things so that we can have the peace of mind that God has desired to give to us.
Absolutely.
Right? So if someone wants to get involved in the ministry, how can they do that?
Okay, well, what I encourage people to do, if you want to come in the ministry, first of all, start coming to the classes, because that way you're going to experience freedom yourself. We do a lot of teaching, which helps expose areas of darkness in your life. So that's going to help you see where there are areas that you do need to deal with, because a lot of times we don't even realize things that are in our life because they've been there for so long, but yet we don't understand why we're dysfunctional. We just think it's the way we are. So when you come and you hear the teachings, that helps expose it. That helps you to start getting free. We try to do a lot of one-on-ones if we can. We have altar ministry. So I just encourage people, first of all, come taste the ministry, so to speak, and see what's here. And then if it's something you're really interested in and want to do and you're willing to go, you know, receive your own freedom and such, you can get into our mentoring classes and then start getting some hands-on experience. And it's just amazing to experience helping somebody else be free.
All and right. Our classes are on Wednesday night, right here,
yes,
at 6:30.
Right here.
All righty. So yep. Thank you very much. Give the ladies a big welcome. Thank you. We have Anne Marie and Scott here with our School of the Bible, but let's take a look at this video first. So, Anne Marie, why does this ministry matter to the church and to the community at large?
Well, it's a place where people that are Christian and non-Christian can really grow and know what the Word says and really grow in their relationship with God and know God's love and know who He is and know who they are. And a lot of Christians even have been Christians their whole life, but they don't have all the pieces together. I know I went to Bible school, and I was in a really broken place. Even though I was brought up in the church, a single mom with four kids, I've been through a lot of trauma, but I didn't know how to succeed in life. I was just surviving, and it wasn't a good life. And I knew a lot of the truths, but there were pieces missing. And because I was in such a place of pain and survival, I was isolating myself. And so School of the Bible came around, and I only had one night a week because I was teaching full-time in high school. And I had four young kids, and I just gave that night a week to the Lord, and I said, you know what, Lord, I just want to know you, because I know you have the answers, and I need to connect with you, because I can't fix any of this. So going to Bible school, I relearned about prayer and evangelism and faith, and it really took all those puzzle pieces and connected them, and I was able to connect with people, because a lot of people with our busy society, we're not relationship-oriented. We isolate. We feel like we have to figure it out ourselves. And so going to Bible school for me connected me with the right pastors, the right friends to help me heal. And once I understood God's love and He didn't expect me to be perfect and He poured that love in me, it freed me to be able to be aware of other people's needs instead of just surviving and looking all the time like, how am I going to make it this day? So Bible school really is a place where you can come, ask questions, get connected, and get the healing you need, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're a new believer or you've been a believer your whole life and just have been through things or just want a refresher. It just empowers you to be whole again with nothing missing and nothing broken. So then I can be aware now and pray for a grocery store clerk who now expects me when I come in to pray for her. And she doesn't go to our church. She's like, I knew you'd come today to the grocery store and I knew you'd pray for me. I mean, I never thought I could do something like that because I was so busy surviving and just, oh my gosh, I gotta get the groceries so I could get home and take care of the kids. But me investing that time in my relationship with God brought me so much healing and so much empowering that I can actually now go outside myself and be aware of other people who are hurting like me and help them through their process. And it really came to a place where I got connected to all the pastors and who said, you know what, you don't have to be perfect to be acceptable, and God loves you right now and He wants to help you with all those things.
I loved what I'm hearing you saying, Emery, is the fact that you became aware of what really was outside your own little world. And I think that's a real problem in our Christian community, is that we are more aware of what our own problem is. You might want to call that navel gazing. We're always looking here rather than realizing there is a lot going on out there that we can touch and be a part of and bring them to a life experience in Christ down their own journey. And sometimes we need to be pushed out of our comfort zone and to become put some glasses on in kind of a way of a descriptive way to say, oh wow, I do have something to give. I do have something to offer. Because the church sometimes can get too caught up in, I need to go to another class, another session, another equipping, and realize everybody around them is not being impacted with what you actually have. If all that you feel that you have is a little grain of a mustard seed of faith, of truth, of knowledge, of experience, it is still enough to spread and to share. So, Scott, what are you seeing in regards to how the School of the Bible is impacting the church and the community?
Well, the biggest thing that School of the Bible does is it helps people to feel confident in what they know and the things that they're being taught, so that they can go out and talk with others. Because it's not just now I have an idea, but now I understand the idea. I understand what the Bible is saying, and I can feel confident in speaking with other people. Because we're all called to be ministers. And it's not Life School of the Bible because it's only for those who are called into ministry. We're all called into ministry. It just may not be in a church. It's in our workplaces. It's in our schools. It's in our homes. It's in our neighborhood. And so you have to take and go outside of here with the knowledge that you have. And so the School of the Bible gives us a great place to gain that knowledge.
So if someone wanted to get involved in the School of the Bible, what are those steps for them to get involved?
Well, they can always call the church office and talk to me or email me. I have a table in the back in the lobby there where you can pick up information. We have one more class. We're done at the end of May. We have prayer school starting this Thursday night at 6:30 with Pastor Bev and Pastor Stephanie Peters. We also are offering a summer classes for free on Thursday nights at 6:30. And it's just come and go as you please. We're doing in three groups of three. And then we're going to be doing actually some activations where we go out and really kind of stretch ourselves and try to practice a little bit what we're learning.
Awesome. I love to hear the fact that you're going to put it to work, what you learned, because sometimes we learn and then we're like, okay, where's the next thing we're going to learn? Well, learning is really about it becoming DNA and experiencing it. So that's really, really great. So give them a great thank you. For the band, because they did an amazing job this morning. Awesome, awesome. So kind of in just as we close here in these few moments, I want to give you a few thoughts. You know, Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, which his name means rock, he said, I'm going to build my church upon you, Peter, upon the rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So even though at times the church as we know it and we see it has its faults, its weaknesses, and its struggles, the church was established by Christ. And the church is not going anywhere. It is here to stay. And the Lord designed the church to be equipped and to be sent. So that even when the church in Jerusalem was growing and prospering and God was adding thousands to the congregation, the Lord allowed the persecution and sent them. Why? Because there was a world that needed to be touched. And that's where you and I come in. We are part of those sent ones throughout history, and here we are today in our generation and in our culture, tasked with the same thing as then, go and make disciples. And so whether that begins in that little nursery room or in the kids or the youth, or whether that begins on your job, at your kitchen table, at a drive-through, picking up your coffee, or in a cubicle, or at an executive office, you are tasked with bringing the light to the world. And that's why the church matters. Because if you don't show up, who's going to tell them? I am so passionate about this message. Because I think we've lost in measure the harvest that's set before us. We've lost it in a measure. We need to regain it. That every face you see, every unfamiliar face that you casually pass, has an eternity waiting for them. And where is it? We may not know. But we are in that moment passing through their lives, and we get to be light, and we get to be salt. That's why the church matters. That's why resurrection matters. That's why you and I are here. Yes, to get equipped, to become strengthened, to get healed, to take it wherever I go, wherever you go. And Monday morning church needs to be alive and well in the community just as much as Sunday morning church attenders sit and receive and ministries go on. I tend to feel that God is probably more concerned about Monday morning church than Sunday. Because Monday is where the rubber meets the road for you and for me. So he's established, he's equipping, and you and I need to go and need to engage the culture. Would you stand with me?
Thank you so much for watching our program today. We really hope it blessed you. You know, the Bible tells us that all of us need a Savior. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, today, if you're sitting there watching this program and you don't know where you stand with God, if you were to die today, you know, would you go to heaven? Would you not go to heaven? You know, we want to help you make sure. You know, the Bible goes on to tell us that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, Jesus came for that very purpose. And so today, I'd love to pray with you to call on the name of the Lord and make him your God, to let him forgive you of your sin and get in right relationship with him. So if that's you today and you want to give your heart back to God or maybe to him for the first time, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God, thank you that you see me just as I am. I know I've sinned and I need a Savior. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. I give you all of my life. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer today, we know because the Bible says it, God heard it. We would love to help you any way we can in your walk with Jesus. And if you contact us through our website, let us know that you prayed that prayer, or call us at our church offices. We would love to give you some resources and tools to help you with your walk with Jesus. If you don't have a home church, we want to invite you to one of our campuses. Check out our website, look at our church locations and times, see which one works best for you. Thank you again for watching the program. God bless you. Have a great week.